This morning I'm turning to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. And I'll read verse 19. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And this morning my subject is tragedy of a sinful life. Tragedy of a sinful life. And our verse tells us the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. Our text teaches us that a sinful life is like being on a dark road. The dangers are concealed to the one who walks in that way. So the writer, the preacher here is comparing sinner's life to somebody who is on a dark road. The potholes are not seen. You can't see them. The sliding areas, the muddy areas are all hidden from his eyes. He can't see. He stumbles, and anything that is dangerous to him, he falls into it without any knowledge of it. The Eka and Obeni said, Osem Kafo, ah, a true proverbs, maybe say me. Or come Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, so say, at the point of 4, point, X is saying, soon. Now, the year, a year, a year, another year, a year, a year, a year, a year, a year, a year, na me ka se anope ye dwen ah mesima de bon ye ni ne na bravo na se ne nkwa e hawa da ne so na se hawa e wo sa akwan ni se ni patra se se o ye de bon ye ni a babo no chere se na kwan e nsu na me ka se ah osan ka fo no o de de bon ye ni akwan e toto onipa onam onan se akwan bi so a se esum Nippon Onam Sumua, Onam Sumua, Amanada own him, and she had that I find him, Atacha or Quires win him, and answer Okan Rakutu, and answer Okan Rakutu. And I'm put there, a idea, a bit to me, Kun Kra or Quinesua. A Katasun, he says, Sum, a Katawini. So as we can draw from our text that the sinner is ignorant about dangers of life, even to the dangers of eternal damnation. Because in life there are dangers that befalls us, and when people begin to live, people like to live apart from God, in this life they fall into many dangers, and in the life to come, the day of judgment, the greater danger, they fall into hell, and that they are lost forever because they love darkness. So in this life, all the blessings of life are lost. The true comfort and peace and joy that God wants us to have in this life, a sinner is ignorant of, and yet he thinks he's so happy, he's so at peace, because he doesn't know the real peace and happiness of life. Okay, so the dangers of hell, even the greatest and the bitter part, the most miserable part, the dangers of eternal damnation. Yes, in this life, up and now, you might not, but in the final way of darkness, where to lead him or her, is so miserable, he can never be recovered. He falls in, he can never come back. So the way here in the text, the way means that the course of life or the mode of action of a sinner, the way the life that a sinner lives, and all the ideas that influence him to live in that way, all that controls him in the way of sin. The air can say, Messi manyo mo di se ni so fe so okos no obo abrabo eno nya na babu ka so di boy ni sa nyo mo esi ni so no ka sa ni na abrabo no e su nyo mo a odwi kura e pa na dwi ma e fo anu so onye we mo onye we no babu sa e esu nti e ma ohu akwan no papa. And it has to do with moral and spiritual matters. This way, as we see here in the book of, more than what we see in Psalms and Proverbs, the path, the way, always talks about the way of life, conduct, and direction, and everything. So sometimes we see that psalmist will pray that God should direct him in a plain path, talking about how God should make him have his life so clear, so that he will be able to obey God and know that Whatever he's doing, God's way is being pleased. So the ways and the path in this part of the Bible is talking about the conduct, the path of life, the mode of life someone lives, the kind of life, the course of life, the lifestyle. That's what it's talking about. And always it has to do with moral and spiritual matters. God always takes notice of such. Whatever life we are living, yes, we might be intelligent, we might not be intelligent, but what matters is our moral and spiritual life. That is what judgment will come upon. That is, and those things influence everything about us. So the way here is to do, it has to do with moral and spiritual matters, and the moral matter has to do with our knowledge of right and wrong, and the spiritual matters have to do with our knowledge of God and our duties toward Him. So the way here is a deep thing to think about. The kind of say, "Kwan nu a, ese de boni ni kwan na wa ha no." Bible no eka ekwan e o Bible mu a, ene anamo wa ekre, nipa abraba a obo, ana se su a odi ekre, eka lifestyle ana se culture odi no ho atumo a, o pese o tena so wi ase. Mudi, eno so de ka se efa, mesu nipa eni papa ne boni, eni mesu eni eni nya yen, yes, o se hu Nyankopon ho adwen, eni mesu e be nante aso ne ni. Saa ne o man ene ekwan a And we are told that the sinner's choice concerns this matter, both spiritual and moral matters, as darkness. Is that about spiritual life? Is that about moral life? A sinner's understanding about holiness is so confused that he's always lost as to how to go about it. In a life of sin, when we talk of holiness, how God, every duty God demands from us, he's as lost about it. His mind is not able to conceive without help of God, without the help of His Spirit, without the help of His Word. None in a sinful state can conceive how God wants us to live. If you remember, the people of Israel, God gave them the Ten Commandments. You know that the Bible tells us that we have the law of God in our hearts even before we come to be aware of this law. But you know that the law of God, now, because of our sinfulness, it is always tainted. So, mostly, the one that we have to do has to do with us and God. We are ignorant of. At least, the one between us and our neighbor, we have some taint knowledge about. So if you see that, if you go to almost every culture, the most barbaric of all kind of cultures, at least, you know that if you kill somebody, it's wrong. Or if you steal somebody, it's wrong. But who God is and how they can worship Him and what God requires of us and how to obtain righteousness of God, it's lost to every culture and every people, except God revealed that such things to us. So you see that the Ten Commandments restore to us again the perfect knowledge of God that God gave to Adam. So you see that when we don't have that help of God, we are not able to see our way concerning our way of holiness. So the sinner is lost about how to go about these things. The sinner will be on now at the point for points, you know. The back concon here, any mess of a Bob Russian and Lenia, not doing Ira or Mokra. I do when your phone will be a yap of a preset. The fireborn or shrill side here, ain't he? I am for this and ran a mile for Ten Commandments, no, or the two for you more who you know whom. Am I a whom Yanko Pong, Sudia there, so am I or say Yanko Pong, Yamano. And yes, your name, your neighbor, and so they also say, man, but you may bring no, because of money, I say, I drink it, you know. Cry in Impoye, yeah, miss my knee and neighbor very late. At best, that's what we can. The person without the knowledge of God's work can at least, talk about. So he's lost in darkness, and he's lost by the darkness that surrounds him. The sinner, the darkness, where the darkness? It surrounds him. It's not physical, it's spiritual darkness. It surrounds him. That is how he's lost. So that his steps, what he sees, his spiritual sight, his understanding, his movement in the world is everything tainted with fault, because he cannot see through well. He cannot understand well. He cannot do things well. Darkness of error, ignorance, and unbelief surrounds him. And this thing leads him headlong, far away from God and eternal life. And because of this darkness of error, ignorance and unbelief surrounds him, it moves him far, far away from God. As in every day he lives, he's moving, his life is far, he's thinking. You see, when we are children, it's easier when we are being brought up by the ways of God. But it takes God's grace that when we are grown up and we are here to, know about the ways of God. You see? Because our mind is already made up. We've already hardened ourselves against the things of God. But it takes only the grace of God to break through such hardness. So we see that the darkness of error, ignorance, and unbelief, and this leads him far away from God. And this is to me here. And from swap, and I say, who are on him, and the IGND, and the man, a cat, a cat, a bar on him, who him there, Sammy Mammy is saying, a queen if you are who and da and Fajia, and who are there to our ma, we are sick for you, or whoever, I don't want to buy a script, or don't want to buy a machine, but I didn't deserve only a young corner and who for dinner mine, said Namu Sunday, a dear Bonnie Bachain, Niagan Sakra, and a dear Rashid woman. Sir, I didn't mean saying, a senior power point, this is a year ago. Okay, so my first thought here is about the cause for the sinner's choice of darkness. At the end, a man of the boy, you know, a piano, a more faster, a quieter air is swimming. So, why do sinners choose darkness? At the end, a piano. So, the Bible tells us, and we know it from the scripture, that firstly, the origin of the sinner's darkness is within his heart and mind. Baby, a man of to me far is soon quiet, so nay, a brabawa is soon. And when I come and I give you, so that the premise of this his reasoning is erroneous. How he weighs things in his mind is false. It's faulty. So at the end of the day, he chooses wrong way. It's faulty. The thoughts that influence his desires are flawed with opposition to God. If a sinner is to desire anything, his mind is not, is God pleased with it? No. Is it pleasing to me? You see, he thinks about himself because the mind and the heart is flawed. So the desire is flawed. So before he does anything, it's me first, and what makes me happy. You see, that is why many people, in the world, when it comes to entertainment and things that we amuse ourselves with, and things that the world calls good, most of the times, it leads people far away from God. Because it makes us happy, it makes us enjoy life. And without the knowledge of God, whoever promotes anything that enjoys life, will be in darkness, because when we are without the knowledge of God to direct our thinking and our way, I don't know, whatever we put, whatever programs comes on telly, movies, it will be against the will of God. You, if you have watched movies, you realize if you watch with knowledge of scripture, most of the movies, almost the movies have something against God. Either the way of speaking, or how the movie is cast, or how they are dressed, or how they call, everything. Even the kind of advice about life they are trying to put across. You see, if you weigh with scripture, most of the times, it's against the ways of God. So it tells us that darkness in the mind and in the heart is a great cause of all the miseries in this world. That is why there will always be afflictions in this world, because the world is always controlled with our sinful thoughts and our sinful mind. Okay, so these thoughts are influencing the sinner's desire, which are flawed in opposition to God. And it's God's law that man's principle must correspond. But because of this darkness, man goes against God. So that the principle that a sinner faces life with, it goes against God. So it goes against God's law. That's where transgression is. As we are told in Psalm 36, verse 1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. The wicked, the sinner, whatever he does, there is no fear of God that controls him. It's the fear of God that makes us to fear sin. If we are without the fear of God, we don't know what is sin. So the psalmist says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. That's the sinner's heir. Because he has no regard to God's will. The boy, you know, I have one day, and from if he said, or so soon I didn't want to find the name to Yankupon, Nimra, and Yankupon, the pair, or say the translation. The sinner disregards God's will because there is deception in his heart. The boy, you know, Yankupon, Nimra, and I'll put the two in Jeffrey said, and that died when I came, born that died. For instance, how will somebody tell a lie? Because he deceived that lies will save him from a particular problem, from shame or whatever. And yet, he despises that lies will be judged by God. Because it benefits him, he will tell a lie. So that he will be free from a particular shame presently. Forgetting that it has eternal consequence. You see how sin makes us deceive ourselves? So that we begin to live a life of lie, because we think that it saves us. It saves our body. It delivers us from a certain situation. They can say, the boyeni. If you say on shun yame na on fan enin yame nemra sem shintino na kwaino oya oye tia nyankopo. If you say boni dada, let me can say. Eben is saying that he can't throw. If you say mra ni pa boni he can't throw no. Na bimu no ofiso oye kika no e ma no ato because bone e won na bimu onim se bone e won sunsun aso ne da atembu se sa bone na wetwa no yakopo onim no e bone e wetu na ko help but obviously e ba bo ame na e jini efi how bimu so that is so see the sinner's mind or heart is what deceived. So by the sin in the heart we think we are wise, but then we err from the ways of God. So that's the darkness we are talking about here. The second thing under this head is that the sinner's choice is a darkness because of his ignorance of truth. Although a sinner has no clear conception of right and wrong, yet he thinks himself he has freedom to do what he likes. The boyeni and the creature onim na green and doing to su papa ne boni ye. And so if he's only freedom or na hoto edi open no open of us all ye. It's a deception. Ignorance of truth. He thinks that, well, I have my freedom to act as I please. He forgets that God's law is there judging him, he has to correspond to. And so, by this, there's nothing that he's his own judge. When he weighs the matters, he's the one to decide, not the law of God. Okay, this is what I have to do. I think I like this. He's his own judge. You see, he needs no guidance from God's word. So, deliberately, he disliked those things God. He disliked everything about God, especially when it crosses his own corrupt and sinful desires. The boy no no. But shada, you may be afraid of upon any unyama. You upon any person who say across on one, na kono anasa ni pe boni boni pebiya. Ompe. If we say, any you upon our kind Asia. This is the darkness we are talking about. God's holiness, justice, God's true love, which his sin, his righteousness, are disliked. So a sinner hates the holiness of God, the justice of God, because the holiness demands holiness from us. The justice of God demands that we do right. And also the true love of God shows us that our love should be without sin, and that righteousness in Christ must be sought after. But the sinner dislikes it. So it is that willfully many reject the Lord Jesus Christ and never consider his forgiveness. Why? Because the Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 1, the Bible tells us that what? God's righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is manifested in the gospel. But there's no hate to, the righteousness of God. So he hates the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ came to make manifest what it is to live a perfect life. So that whoever trusted in him, who put his faith in him for salvation, will be saved. And God will give the person such righteousness, will give all the sin. But the sinner hates God's holiness. He hates God's righteousness. So he despises the Lord Jesus Christ. Because coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord Jesus Christ, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. So there's what? A narrow way you have to pass through. And the sinner hates it. He doesn't like it. So you see that willfully many reject the Lord Jesus Christ and never consider his forgiveness for sin. Because when I come for him to forgive, yeah, people will love Christ to forgive their sins if it will not move them to stop their sin. But since it will make me to stop my love for sin, he hates. They will not repent of their sins or believe on him. It makes no sense to the sinner who loves the sin to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Said the boy, you done the one in the soul of Jesus Christ. On pay if he said, Bible tells me, I hope on it's raining yet. And we use Christ. You see, when Adam fell, he lost the original righteousness. And now the only way God can give us back this righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you look at Paul's writing to the Romans in chapter 1, he says that this is what God has put in place, that through Jesus Christ, the gospel, that's the power of God to salvation. And through the gospel, that the righteousness of God is being manifested. So that each one of us don't have original righteousness unless we have it from Christ. But how can a sinner who hates God's righteousness go to Christ? So you see, that is the danger. The Lord Jesus Christ himself told us in John chapter 3, verse 19 to 20, I say that, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hated the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So that whoever is so tired of his sin, is so tired of his dark ways, will run to Christ. When there's darkness and you see a light somewhere, you head towards it, so that you'll be free, so that you can move about without being hurt. So the sinner, being surrounded with sin, because the sinner loves it, he will never move to Christ. So that Christ himself, he's the light. I mean, men love darkness rather than light, so that God, their deeds are evil. We love to do evil things, we love to sin, so that we hate Christ. So you see that it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to come, to really help us to move. God, nobody can on himself see his own darkness. The darkness has blinded us. So you see, that's why we say that salvation is of the Lord. The work of salvation begins with the Spirit's work in the heart. That leads us to repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Job also tells us of the attitude of sinners toward God after enjoying all the good things of life. In Job 21, 14 to 15 says, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? You see? People don't say with their mouth, but their lifestyle and the attitude toward the word of God. That's what they are telling God. God has given you life, giving all the blessings of life, the support of life. But they say his knowledge should depart from them. We don't want his knowledge to control our life. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. We love our dark ways. We love the ways that goes against the ways of God. What is God? Like, you know, Pharaoh himself said, who is God? When Moses went to tell him that God said, I should come and take my people, his people, he said, who is God? Who is the Lord? That is what, indirectly, sinners tell God when they continue in their sin. They don't see any profit in the holy life. They see that coming to Christ and having his salvation will deny them many things, and they wouldn't want to do that. So, and he said, if they will not even pray to God. You see that people cannot really pray truly to God if they don't know him. That's why many have faulty prayer, because they have not known God in the right way. If people know God who he is and how they have to come to him, they will pray aright. So many prayers are faulty in our world today, and people think they are praying, but they are not praying. So the sinner do not desire that God will come into his life. The boy, you know, on person, God is light, and him is no darkness. There's no variableness. And there's not like dishonest lies and, I mean, dubious ways. How can he come to God? And so the sinner, he will not say, but they are happy that it is true that there is no God. That is it. I mean, I don't want to come to the knowledge of God. So I wish, if there's no God, then we shall be free. They wish there's no God, but God is there. So you see that it's a tragedy to be in this condition. It's a tragedy to have such state of mind. And this darkness is so thick that can be felt when a person desires and his heart is like this. It's against the ways of God. He desires not the ways of God or the knowledge of God to live by, to control him. And what would this character produce? What would this mindset produce? So no wonder those who are so far are, when they are in authority, who are so far from God, when they are in authority, all the best they can promote is the human rights against God's rights. So that when they make laws for humans, even if it goes against God, they don't care. It is us. The world is for us. Our life is for us, but not God. That is why, you know, those who champion these gays and lesbians and other form of so-called human rights issues, they don't care if it goes against God's law. Even churches, pastors promote that. Yet they say they are God's people. They are in darkness. You see? The third thing under this head is that the sinner's way is as darkness because God will finally desert him. You see? God will finally desert him. Spiritual desertion is God's judgment for those who continue a life of sin in spite of all his kind warnings from his word and encouragement to repent. God never punishes without warnings and encouragement to repent. So you see, the third thing, the boy you know after quite a soon, of course, because God finally will have to put all darkness into judgment. Satan and all his demons and witches and whatever into darkness. And where would the sinner stand? The sinner will also go with him, with them. That's why in Revelation I told that the beast or the devil that deceived them, his angels, will be cast there first, and then sinners also will be put into hell. So those who say that it is wickedness on God's part to punish sinners, where will sinners be when heaven, God's reign come all over? Where would they be? There's no middle ground. They must be where darkness is. And darkness is Satan, and the sinners will be sent to where he is. You see, by this dissertation from God, God takes away his restraint that prevents them from fully destroying themselves by their sin. God, despite all our sin, God restrains us in this world. That is why sin doesn't have a full blow. People can devise to sin, but yet, I don't know, they are disappointed in their way of sinning. I'm sure some of you of us we have experienced this, that if we are not saved, we have experienced some of these things, that how we plan to live a kind of course of life against the ways of God. God himself brought something so that we were disappointed. So you see, God put restraints around sin, around sinners, so that they are not able to destroy themselves. Even Satan is under the controlling power of God. If Satan is allowed, you'll be happy that all of us are destroyed. But no, God, whatever power Satan has, is by permission. God allows him to work as he allows him. So it's that God has control over darkness. Even if that way that the sinner has taken, God has power over that. It's not out of control from the hands of God. It is out of control from the hands of man and the devil, but not from the hands of God. There's a restraining hand. But the boy the person of course will not claim more. You know that it's often a sad thing to see people who seem to have no restraint in their life of sin. I'm sure we can imagine some people who seem to be so giving themselves a particular way of sinful life, no advice, they don't care for who advises them, and they are willing to go into it fully. It's a pity to see such. Sometimes when we see people like that, we should pity them because it's a way of judgment. And sometimes you see that they'll go on, and then something happens, that their life, they end their life. And it's also the same others who don't even, we don't see them as so-called big sinners. But if a sinner continues in that darkness, he will die. And what else? He has lost. So you see, when people seem to have no restraint, it's a sign of sudden destruction and eternal damnation. It's a pitiable sight. If you read the history of tyrants and their end, almost all the tyrants, they have big plans, trying to do what they wish, killing millions. They don't care. But yes, some small thing, then their life is cut short. Then things begin to there's a revolution of things. Look at, some people who give themselves to drinks and drunkards, they will go on, and what happens to their lives? Those who are sexual perverts also, what happens to their lives? I'm sure we all have, some ideas about such things. These are just two examples, but every form of sin, every form that the people don't see, whatever sin we have, whether pride or arrogance, whatever, envy, whatever, it destroys us. It takes us far away from God. And finally, it causes us to do something, and then it brings us down. As Proverbs tells us, pride goes before a fall. See, whatever sin we engage, we don't want to give ourselves to God and repent, it will make, even in this life, we will fall into it, it will cause us something. Temporal punishment will come. And also, finally, and this is called, we call judicial hardening. It's God punishing them in their sin. The very sin they are sinning, God uses to punish them. So God lift them up to their own sin to destroy them. You know, we have history about this in the scripture. God did this to those who lived before the flood in the West time. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. mean God, hear me, it means that God's power that was restraining them, he's going to take it. And you know that before the flood, what happened? I mean, the Bible tells that the sin of man was so great in the earth, God allowed them to sin so that he would destroy them. You know, the power, it is the only power, the power of the Holy Spirit of God that has power to bring a conviction of the gospel to the sinner's mind. It is only the Holy Spirit that can bring conviction to the sinner's mind. To draw the sinner's mind to the fact that he's living a life against God. That his life will lead him to eternal damnation. That his life prevents him to enjoy God's blessings for this life. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit. Else, none of us will ever thought of returning from our sins. It is only the power of the Holy Spirit. But then, the gospel message is that those who willfully oppose it, continue to oppose it, God will leave them to themselves. The gospel, as I said, is God's testimony of his redeeming love to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a testimony that God has given of his Son, that he sent him to this world to die for our sinners, that in him alone, that we can be accepted before him. And so I'm family of his Christ, and open me a good point, and as it is, at the far nido or dear door or the my we are said or didn't about my no penny sooner. You bet me your train a yeah, bet me soon. So that's but if my sinfulness, the love of my sin prevents me from considering this redeeming message, where can I be the redeemed? There's no salvation for the sinner. Then if he rejects it, finally he might be left to his own hardness and blindness of his own heart. Then finally he has to be destroyed. You know, truly, there comes a time that God leaves the sinner in his darkness of unbelief. Yes, people cannot believe the gospel because some God has left them to their unbelief. And if they are not helped, they can never believe. If they are not helped, they can never have faith to believe. Even on their deathbed, when they realize all is lost and life is empty, they can never believe. That's the history of many. I mean, which people have said that, I've read history of in the olden times that people will be up. So those times when somebody is coming to that, they will go for a priest or a pastor to come and pray. Or I mean, there are people who can say that they cannot believe. They know that they are ending their life, but they cannot believe the gospel. They realize how the weight of sin on them, but they can never believe. The grace of God is taken away. So let us be careful and pray that God will help us so that if we have not known the Lord, he will grant us faith to believe on him. So that we will know that the work of salvation is by God's Spirit. So we cannot decide when we want to live. For me, I want to live my life up to this age. For now, I'm too young. When I give myself to Christ, I have to become holy and live a religious life. No. I want to enjoy life more. And as a person, I mean, when I have had enough, then I'll repent and believe. Who told you you can have such life? See? People don't say with their mouth, but it's in their heart. So when people are young and they are growing up, myself, I was deceived this way. God himself helped me. I thought to live a life far away from God, from my parents and from religion. If God had not helped me, I might have, I don't know where I'm from. Because my friends that I was moving with, most of them are dead now because of the kind of life they lived. But you know, it is by the Spirit of God that draws us to himself. But sometimes we forget, we think that, I repented, I have believed. No! If God should leave us, none of us will have even believers. If God should leave us, our faith will stumble. We cannot continue to believe on him. So you know, if you are not saved, the time is now. If you have not repented of sin, if you have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ and plead his mercy to ask him to forgive your sin, the time is now. Who knows? If tomorrow you are not helped by the Spirit again, if the power of the Spirit is taken away, what will you do? Salvation is not in your hand. It's not in my hand to give. That's why we always speak against those pastors who preach on radio and say, the sinner's prayer, 100% say, yes, he'll be saved. No! Salvation is of the Lord. He gives to us. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, cautions us. He said that in the reading we read from John chapter 12, verse 6, he says that while he was telling the Jews, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light, because they were acting in an unbelieving way towards him. He saw that he's a light. They should believe in a light. But what did they do? After he said that, obviously, and then these things speak Jesus and departed and did hate himself from them. They didn't have his influence again. Because this report put up a resistance against his message. But I said, he told them, why you have the light? Believe. The light of the gospel is today. Spoken out. Christ have died for sinners. And it is in him alone we can have righteousness. We can. That is it. So I come to my last point of my last consideration, then I'm done. The way of the sinner is the way of all mankind. The sinner's way we have been describing and thinking is the way of all mankind. It's a general, universal thing. A sinful life is what we are born into by our parents. When we are born into this world, we are born into sin. Even if they are true Christians, their Christianity does not make us right before God. It does not affect our sinfulness from birth. Each one of us must seek for God for himself, whether I have Christian parents or not. So me, my wife, hey, Christo, for Christ, yeah, who me, and that's me, I'm not sure Christo, I mean, who Christo? I'm a Christo, yeah, no, I'm a no, I'm fucking brother. If I do not also seek the Lord Jesus Christ himself. King David confirmed this, and it is true of all of us. In Psalm 51, verse 5, I say that, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Can a sinner change his way in the prophecy? They say, no. Can the Ethiopia change his skin? He said, no. Can the leopard change his skin? No. His spots? No. So can the sinner also cease to do to be sinful? No. Except he said. The boyeni, until say, as a sign, came to me, anyway, and sign. So by natural procreation, the effect of Adam's sin is not felt, but rather duplicated. So you have Mama Rias, Adam, the boyeni now, why are you? We are copies of Adam's sin. He is sin origin. We are copies of his sin. And we are affected with his sin. Sometimes say, why did God allow sin? Why is he charging us to come to Jesus Christ and be saved? And some people say that, why didn't Jesus Christ take away sin so that nobody will be a sinner in this world? Are we wiser than God? I'm sure those who ask those questions, they are wiser than God. And at the day of judgment, they should go and ask God. And I'm sure that the burden of their sin, they can never even remember that. If you know the burden of sin and the terror of sin, if it troubles you, you wouldn't have been a thing of mind to think of such people, what people say. So we come to this world by the image of our first parents, liars, greedy, selfish, and haters of God. Yeah, but we are seeing a trough for, a liberal for, Pesmankunya for, and Nipa, that is how sinful life is. We come hating God and living a life against him. Our sin has deprived us of God's original image of true holiness, truthfulness, love, kindness, and purity. As Romans 3:23 tells us that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is the image of, I remember my daughter, some tried to ask me, oh, is God like, does God look like us? I said, no. Well, he was thinking of the image of God in man. I said, no. It's the character of what? Holiness, truthfulness, love, kindness. That's the image, not the physical. God is not, God doesn't have body. So the Bible says that we're created in the image of God, not the physical image, but this purity which we have lost. And the Bible tells that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every sinner is without this image, which has to be restored to us. So it is that we come into this world only anxious about the safety of our bodies and long life on earth. Because of somebody away, your pastor is so I did a see this so and he said, basically you bell boy you need to be by and basically me a trans as this. That is all that we are. And that is all that a sinner's life is about. Those without God, that is their aim of life. How do we live on this earth and enjoy it better? How we can have long life and enjoy even at old age, we want to extend, we should go extend our age so that we can enjoy life better. That's all that a sinner thinks. The true child of God never thinks to even prolong his life on earth because he knows how this world is evil and how it is tempting him each and every day. He never loves to live long on this earth except that God wishes him to do. I remember my cousin told me that 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks when I went to him, I said that he knew a rich man and his complaint was that he has had big mansion and he is enjoying it. Then he asked him, why should God allow death to come in? Why has God brought death? God didn't do well at all. When my cousin was saying, and I was thinking, wow, that is a man who has totally, who doesn't know what life really is. He's saying he has enough. He has told himself, he should have long life to live on this earth. That is the mind of a sinner who doesn't know God. all his mind and every hope is on his head. He's anxious about the safety of his own body. You look at the difficulties people are willing to endure just to secure riches and worldly comfort for this life. People are willing to give themselves to anything. Look at those passing through the desert. Some, with their small boat on sea, they want to go to the Europe to better so-called their life. They don't care if they lose their life or not. They wish to have the money so that they can enjoy it. But how many of them are even willing to think of their sin and repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that is how our sin has brought us about. You even consider how people are willing to roam everywhere to seek medical help. It is good to seek medical help, but people without the fear of God, they think that if they don't get the medicine or the medical help, their life is ended. And they can do anything, except they don't have money. You see? And yet, how they are careless about how they stand before God, and where their souls will be after death, and when this life is ended, what will happen to them? There's one thing that always interests me a lot. When I hear the well wishes people give to people who have died, you hear that they say, "May his soul rest in peace." Then, regardless of whether the person is saved or not, so sometimes when I hear, I ask myself, do these people understand? Or they think that when they wish the person well, then to be well with the person. That's deception. May his soul, may God keep him. And even those who say, "May his soul rest in peace," sometimes they don't even think of God at all. But they say what? "May his soul," as if that death makes sinners God's children. That's what sometimes we think, oh, death is a miserable thing. And when it happens, then, oh, I'm going to go home. It's a deception. The Bible tells us those God who keep their soul in safety. It's so clear from Scripture. So it's as if what? As if death erases every record of sin from our life. No, death doesn't do that. Death doesn't do that. Each one of us must give account to God who gave us life. After death, there's judgment. A woe and fire born into war. Bible just says, woe, it's a temple. Say, yeah, when you're going to be a brave boy, But God, who knows our tragedy in sin, who knows that none will be able to stand and qualify before him after death when we live in sin, sent his only son to come to die for needy sinners such as us. That any sinner who believes in Lord Jesus Christ, death for sinners, such will be saved, will have hope for forgiveness, will have such power over sin now, and that the judgment to come will have no power over him. You see, the judgment to come have no power over him. God knows why he has. If God knew why he sent his son to come and die, he's wiser than everyone, and none can give excuse against him. God has done a great thing about sin, that we should come to Lord Jesus Christ and find him. This is God's truth about sinners at all times. He said that there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. In Isaiah 48, verse 22. So at what point does the sinner cease to have peace with God? No, there's no peace in this life and after death. But people think that, no matter how people have lived, after death, at least death is a miserable thing. God will be. No, there's no peace, said the Lord, unto the sinner, unto the wicked. Though a person may enjoy all the comfort and peace of this world, yet until he has repented of sin and rested his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, to be forgiven, he will never know God's peace. The real peace God promises to those who come to him, the person will never have. He may have all the worldly peace to deceive himself, or all the worldly comfort to deceive him, but except there's a repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of God can never be had. He can never be reconciled to God. Fears, troubles, afflictions, loss, disappointment will always distress him, even in this life. One of the things that sinners don't have, when troubles come, no matter how big and how great they are in this world, fears and troubles of life, afflictions, loss, disappointment, that's where you see them. Then they are finding solutions. That's why many people are running to false prophets today. They don't care about God, but when trouble comes, then they want solution. Then they move to this so-called false prophet for help. So see that. And finally, while they know all this tribulation, the believer will also have all these troubles.
But then the good news is that the believer will have peace through all the fears, the troubles, the afflictions, the loss and disappointment. He has peace. He will not be troubled of life. It will not really cause him anything. God will keep him. He will have the comfort in his heart. He will not be troubled as a burden. And finally, the sinner will suffer eternally in hell, where peace, joy, and comfort of in this temporal life will be taken away. So that whatever they enjoyed, the taste of it, they will never have again. Friends, I'm coming to the end of my message. Faith in Christ is a sure anchor for life now and in eternity. To have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the anchor of the soul. In this life, against all the troubles of life, the losses, the fears, and all the dangers of this life, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is an anchor. No intellectual knowledge can give you that. If I am the greatest scientist or whatever, the fears and the troubles and afflictions of life, I have no power over them. It's only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that gives me this anchor. In 1 Peter 2, we are told, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that delivereth on him shall not be confounded." And God has always been true to his word. Those who have ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ has never been confounded. When they call him at time of their difficulty, he comes either to deliver or to strengthen them in life's difficulties. And who doesn't want it? Who wants the difficulties of this life and eternal damnation to come? Friends, this is the way of sinners. Sinners are walking in the path of darkness. They don't want to come to Christ. But what about you? What about your way? Is your way in the way of light? Once walk find yourself. You see, at the point of one number, some walk find. Now, once we walk find, hey, find a same one. Now, walk find with Christ to move. And now walk find what the point of walk find. So walk find with Christ to move. The army has not come. If your life is in Christ, thank God and continue. But if not, then you must come to him now, leaving all doubt and fears. Come in repentance and trust in him now. He is able to save anyone who comes to him. That's what the Bible has promised us. None has ever come to him whom he ever rejected. So may the Lord help us as we think about these things, that we shall all find the way of path, the way of life, which is in Christ, against the way of sin, our sinful hearts, and our sinful ways.